field, you get quite aesthetic and quite beautiful just by happenstance tracks left by. Let me come to the business of cooling all of the magnets here. It turned out to be quite a problem. And here's the water that we get in a reservoir. It comes from the Fox River. When the Fox River is in flood, that is when you want to get rid of water, then we take water and pump it from that into this reservoir, and then we have a pump house at this point, which we can pump water throughout for cooling the magnets throughout the site. And here is that building, and then here is we have a jet, and here is the building, which is our pump house. And it seemed to me that since Archimedes is supposed to have invented the water pump, it would be nice to build the pump house in the form of an Archimedes spiral, which is what it is. Okay, then we got down to the business of serious architecture. It seemed to me desirable to have one building and put all of our effort and money in that one building called the Central Lab, next to the accelerator, next to that grove of trees. Here's the grove of trees back here. That's where the accelerator was to go. So we tried, this was sheer fun. We decided to have architecture month. And during that time, each one of those firms brought in an architect and designed a building. This was one of the buildings that looks like a kind of a flat iron. I mean, you can see it's really a rather remarkable building pointing out to the experimental areas. And another building here, we call this the drill bottle building. And it looked like a drill bottle. And here's another building designed by the firm of Urban, who was supposed to make all of the designs, but turned out made none. But anyway, this is an upside-down pyramid, and the director was supposed to sit at the apex, or the sub-X, or whatever it is. And I thought I would get, I don't know, not vertigo, but hanging, looking down. And the experiments were supposed to be done at the top. It is quite an interesting building, it seemed to me. But on the other hand, we also figured out the cost of each of these buildings, say, compared to just a cube. If we didn't have much money, this was about three times the cost of any of the other buildings. And although I think it would have been a lovely building, sort of looming up over the prairie, we decided not to build it. On the other hand, later on, in out here where the beam comes, it stays completely underground. We have a lot of pits, dirty pits, where the experiments are made and changed. This is where Jay O'Rear lives in right there and does his experiment. And it seemed nice to have some expression and overlook of all of that. And so we designed this building, which we called a pagoda. And I'd been impressed by the stairs in the Vatican Museum. Remember, if you go in, there's a double stairway down. And it seemed to me we ought to have a double stairway. And there we got it, right there. And, this is the fourth building that was designed during Architecture Week. And this is the one we chose as being the best of all those. It has only one defect, and it seemed to me, and that is that it's ugly. And you can see that it's not a handsome building, but it had the advantages of having a courtyard. This has a plastic dome over it. And we thought that we could have trees, and then Illinois gets pretty bleak, and then at least we would have an interior in which we could have trees growing and lovely parts. That seemed nice. And furthermore, the communication that I was talking about seemed particularly good in such a building. You could walk around that central courtyard, and it wasn't too high, but you could get up and down. And it seemed that everything that we wanted would work very well from the building, with the exception that it was ugly. We thought that will be easily corrected by bringing in perhaps other architects. Incidentally, this was, of all those, each one of those firms is supposed to supply us with great architecture. And this kid His name was George Adams, had walked in off the street and was just working for the consortium as an architect who was supposed to follow the other's orders. This was his idea, which I think was a good one, and there he is working on it. So he won the contest, but except that we decided his building was not worth building. Then followed a series, I should change that maybe, then followed, this was one of the attempts to make it more beautiful, a suspended series of rings. I'm not sure that it did make it more beautiful. In fact, it seemed to, here was another attempt at, I think is a monstrosity. Here was a, thrashing around. Here was another attempt to get a beautiful building. That's better. Here's another one where that's developed. Now you can see just the whole thing going to hell. Taking off in a different angle, direction completely. And absolutely, this is something you would put up on the ag campus at Cornell. So we felt that we had reached a dead end. We had to go back to basics. And so here I've shown the building that we were to get, and here. And here over here is the Saint-Pierre de Beauvais. And no, it's the other way around. This one. excuse me. But you see, the nave is about the same height. The width of the building is pretty close. And I have to show you the ground plan then. Let's see, this is Saint-Pierre. And no, this is, is this the choir? I guess so. Anyway, they're rather comparable, and you see that we were going back first things first. Except there was a little disquietude about the fact that the Saint-Pierre had fallen down, I think, 8 times, and we hoped that our building would only fall down perhaps 7 times. But this is then, let's see, can we... I'm trying to get the other a shot of the other one. Can you please try to put on the other shot? This is what we did come to. And the next one? Oh, what a catastrophe. I lost one. Thank you. We turned that off. Well, this is the building we did come to. It's sort of twin towers that lean inward, have that courtyard effect, which we thought was valuable, and also we thought what we thought would give good communication. Let's see, here's another view of the building from the side, and see how it slants in. My contribution was to put in this particular curve there, and here is a side from the back end of the you can see it going up with the glass going all the way to the top. That's the back of it. And then if you look down from the top of it, you see our utility building and one of the accelerators at night. And here's a less romantic view looking at the utility building, where this is a very cheap building, but it has a glass front, and then we cool the water by a series of jets coming into a pond at the center. Inside the building, I showed you, is our trees and windows looking one way. And I want to draw your attention to something that I felt was important, and that is to have a stairway that goes up, an open stairway. And then here's a view looking in the opposite direction in the building. And here's the stairway again. And we used to race up and down the stairways. We felt somehow that was an important part. There are also elevators, slow elevators, that you can go up and down. And everybody then comes out in this area, and then there's a cafeteria. And it seemed to me that for communication, when if everybody came in, waited for the elevators in the same spot, or took the stairways, they would. The important thing is to bump into somebody. I've always felt that you shouldn't have to make an appointment and go see him. You ought to run into him. So the building... 3 times a day, everybody does come once to eat in the cafeteria on the ground floor. The other thing is to go to their offices. And here is the stairwell that follows up, and is painted a color which I was always impressed by, that same shade of orange that you see as you look across from here toward the library. I don't know if it's the same color now. You'd see that orange there. That came right out of the library at Cornell. In back, I got into a terrible fight with the architects because they had designed an auditorium, and the auditorium turned out it was supposed to cost $1 million. When the bids in it came for it, it cost $2 million. One of the things that I decided to do in going to Cornell was not being an architect and not being a very good physicist, or certainly an old one, was that I would become something of a character, and that would help out where ignorance would to conceal the ignorance. And so with the architects, when I didn't like something, I would as dramatically as possible take their plans, tear them into shreds, throw them down. That made quite a message. And when this thing, their auditorium came in at $2 million, I went through this, which I had done rather practiced at. I made them very angry. They also turned out to be characters in their own right and practically had a fist fight. Eventually, one of them came up with this nice thing, "Do you think you can do better?" And of course, anyway, well, I went to our factory, and my thought was that these look very much like the tunnel piece. We had a factory that would make horseshoes like object 10 feet long for the tunnel. These you can imagine upside down on a piece of concrete will make a tunnel. So since we had that factory, we could make them very precast, these things. There are 18 of them that lean inward, and those are the forms that would make the auditorium in a rather economical manner. And the next, this is a view on the top. In order to make the I-beams have to be very heavy to, you know, it goes up with a cube of the span or square of the span or something across. We wanted people to go out there naturally, but you have to have it strong enough so people shoulder to shoulder won't collapse it. By putting a pond here, then we could make those I-beams very much smaller because right in the center where the worst, where the weight is most efficiently, I mean in terms of demolishing it, used, the person can't be there because of the pond. That worked out very well and gave us a nice pond in addition. Here we are coming out of the central laboratory building that I showed you pictures of the interior, going down a stairway, and then there you'll see a walnut. We had a lot of walnut wood stolen from us by some walnut, sort of interstate walnut thieves that you may have read about. But we caught them with the walnut logs loaded on their truck, and we kept the logs. And so wherever throughout the building, we now have walnut that we would never have been able to, we certainly would never have cut down those beautiful walnut trees on purpose, but since the thieves did it for us and we caught them, we kept the walnut and sawed it up to make the walnut banisters and such things. Now inside of the auditorium, here's the proscenium, and not knowing anything about acoustics, what I did, I think, is what most people would do, is try to make the auditorium look pretty and then fix it up somehow. And I thought of fixing it up was to look into the Encyclopedia Britannica under the, I don't know which edition it was, but under acoustics I did. And I saw then that it had an article about acoustics, which I read. But it pointed out that the hall with the best acoustics in the world was one in Munich, a Munich theater, and it had a cylinders that went straight across, but of roughly this shape. And I thought it'd be more sculptural to make those, instead of cylinders going straight across, make them figures of revolution so that they come around, sort of focused on the stage here. That, which I learned then, is of course that's perfectly circular auditorium. And you can see those same forms coming down all the way around, 18 of them around, but they are convex. You don't want anything concave. That breaks up the sound. This breaks up the sound. And the place has extremely good acoustics by some accident. We don't need a speech address system. And we've had as much, it holds, I think, 780. 830, beg your pardon. my wife, Jane, is on the auditorium committee. We had the Bolshoi Ballet once. That's what the Russians did for us, dancing on our stage. And in any case, the acoustics are quite good, and you don't need a speech address system during lectures, for example. Here's another view, and I want you to look at this place right here. You won't see any projection booth in this auditorium until I show you this slide. And there it's the only auditorium where a sign comes on saying, fasten your seat belts when we show slides. Because with these seats up here, then this thing is on hydraulic cylinders and it comes up like Venus out of the sea. And then you project the slide, and then it goes down. People in the seats during this complain about mal de mer, but we give them their money back under those circumstances. Now we're coming to the sort of recapitulation of this particular site. Ken Evans came and complained about the parking lot, so we put in which extended out into a terrible square over here. He was really complaining about the parking lot at all, I think. But at least he demolished the parking lot in this area and put in this kidney-shaped device, which is used. As soon as we make, all of these are artificial ponds, as soon as we make them, we put them to work with jets and moving water, and then they cool the water and serve a double function. Well, now, I've gone through the main aspect of architecture, and I'm finishing my talk, but if there's just another 2 minutes, let me just show you some of the objects that we put in that may or may not have any aesthetic content or not. I leave that to you to judge. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm just going to show some pictures of these objects which make the high energies with which we do our physics. Oscillograph, pattern, counter. Another oscillograph, Strankov counter, stand, counter. And I'd like to end with a question mark. This is an object that I designed, and I must say it gets us from 400 to 500 GeV. It's the object that does it, so it has some physics use. Or it may be electrical engineering. I'm not sure. Here's a building. You can see it's about twice as high. These are condensers, which it got up out of the snow. It was much more economical to do it this way than to. We did have a cost. It's about half the cost by getting it up and not putting the condensers in the building. We saved about half the cost that would have been spent. And whether this is a minimal sculpture. Or whether it's architecture, I don't know. I leave that question to you. Thank you.